Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, everybody. Great to see you all. Hope you all had a positive week. We're here to talk about rebranding the world's largest stablecoin. So let's start with an introduction. My name is Nicholas Jenkins-Smith. You can call me Nick. Here with my esteemed colleague, Patrick. I'm a design director at Siegel & Gale EMEA.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Patrick. I'm senior strategy director at Siegel & Gale. Happy to be here. Let's begin. So we are the Simplicity Company. We're a global brand consultancy. Nick and I are based in London, but we have offices all over the world. We're part of Omnicom, and since 1969, we've been creating amazing brand experiences and also telling great stories like the one that we're going to tell today. This is how we work with clients. We say we simplify to then amplify. Simplifying is about research. It's about uncovering what we like to call it, the brand's compelling truth, which is something that already exists most of the times in your company, in your brand. It's our job to find it, bring it to the surface, and then amplifying using the power of design to capture people's imagination, not just visually, but also verbally. So this is usually how we work. Let's see how we simplified it for Tether. So as you may know, Tether started as a digital currency. This is the initial point of their brand, but then the company behind it started investing in other businesses that you see here, like mining, energy, communication solutions, so on and so forth. So it was very clear for us since the beginning that the original brand outgrew its purpose. So it became bigger, broader. And then one of the things that we needed to do with them was just to elevate the profile of the group brand that you see there in order to accommodate and to encompass all of these different initiatives, all of these different investments that the company was making. So then the brief for us was to reframe the brand, becoming bigger, broader than it was, and then creating a new visual identity system that Nick's going to take you through to be able to reflect that change. So first things first. So let's talk a little bit about Tether and how they started as this digital currency. Technically, it's a stable coin, right? So stable coin because it's pegged to the US dollar. That means, you know, one digital Tether token equals one US dollar. And why the dollar? Because historically, the dollar has been the most stable currency ever, right? So unlike crypto, Tether is not about speculation. Tether is not about volatility. It's just about providing a way with for somebody to convert their regular currency into a stable digital token. And why am I saying this? And why is this important? Because, you know, in places like Argentina, places like Turkey, places that suffer a lot from inflation, developing nations, developing economies, Tether is seen as a hero because it provides people with this opportunity of converting their regular currency that is devaluing day by day because of inflation into the stable digital token, right? So it becomes a hero, becomes somebody that gives hope and brings a little bit of positivity, especially when you have, you know, your value of money eroding daily, like this picture here in Argentina. On the other hand, in more developed nations, developed economies, Tether is seen as a threat because digital currencies, you know, fintechs, they're all coming to disrupt the traditional institutions, the big banks, you know, the established system, and then regulators don't know how to deal with them, right? So the first thing is just to think that is something that is not being beneficial for the established way and to keep perpetuating how things have always worked. So seen as a threat, seen as a villain. And then this duality was something that we found very, very interesting, because when you have somebody coming from the outside to change things, and then, you know, all of a sudden you are creating a new way of doing things, creating a new system, you are trying something new, this causes discomfort. You know, the immediate reaction when that happens is it's just people try to shut it down, have fear, and not know how to deal with it. And the same thing happens with some of these companies that you see here. When they were launched, you know, way back, like 20 years, 25 years ago, they all went to the same level of scrutiny. They were all seen as villains because they used technology to create something new, to disrupt the established system. They were under the microscope until they actually proved that their mindset, their way of doing things was actually better. And once they tipped over to the cycle of adoption, then they were able to be legitimized and seen as heroes. So it was very clear for us since the beginning of this project that we needed to reconcile both sides of this story. You know, in a way, Tether needed to channel the villain and unleash the hero. It's something that is super important for this brand, for the story of this brand. Even if you look at some of the tweets from Paulo, the CEO, he's a person that likes being the underdog, likes proving people wrong, and he's been doing it very successfully. So it's a story that really resonated with them since the beginning. You gotta, some way, somehow, consider both sides of this coin. Right, so up until now, everything that we've been saying so far was about financial freedom, providing a way of giving financial freedom, financial independence for people. But there's another brand in their portfolio, which is all about freedom of speech. So they picked up a fight against big tech about data privacy and protecting the integrity of communications between people. And they launched this brand called Keat. I don't know if you guys know about this brand. Any of you uses this brand? Show hands. No? Nobody? Right. I actually didn't know as well. So Keat is similar to a Microsoft Teams. It's similar to Zoom. But unlike these two other, you know, applications, it's, you know, they're peer-to-peer and all of the data never goes through servers. So you're connecting directly with whoever you're communicating with. Nobody's listening to you. Nobody's keeping tabs on you. Nobody's harvesting your data. So you're in control of your data all of the time, right? It's never on a server. So, you know, what we were saying before about financial freedom and the digital tokens, you know, and now with the communications application, it became clear for us, there's a thing about freedom, there's a thing about independence, and creating this new way that changes the established way that puts power back into the little guy, fights for the little guy, creates this level of autonomy, empowerment, and independence. So freedom was something that was very, very important for the Tether brand. Having trouble with the clicker here. So as they transition into these other verticals, let's say, so, you know, the digital currency, then communications app that I showed you, they started investing in renewable energy. They have, you know, online education platforms as well. Everything that they did was with this self-sovereign mindset. This is something that they call it internally. It's to be self-sovereign, to fight for independence, to fight for freedom, to fight for you know, the ability for the little guy to have a chance and not be hostages or victims of the established system. And this also is what enabled them to transition into just being, you know, very focused in the digital currency and then becoming broader as a company to becoming, you know, a digital infrastructure company. So in a nutshell, guys, you know, it's Tether is about using technology to create decentralization that gives people benefits, that gives community benefits, then be unstoppable. So we landed on this big idea of being unstoppable together. This was the idea for the brand. You're going to see some of that in the following slides.
Thank you very much, Patrick. So I'm now going to take you guys through how we took all the tacit knowledge from our client stakeholders, how we gathered all the insights and data and the great strategy that Patrick and team assembled and amalgamated those to accentuate the brand story through the vehicle of the creative idea. And that creative idea was the unness. Well, what the hell is that? I hear you all say. And I get it. It sounds a bit W1A. You get a bunch of creatives in a room and they start to develop their own lexicon, their own language. But unness is far less ephemeral. It's more meaningful, more purposeful, at least to us, than certainly for our client Tether. Because over the period of time that we spent with them and being a good creative partner, we got under the hood of the business and you know, really learn about what their direction was, what they were trying to do, who their audience were, who they were trying to reach, but more importantly, the vision of the future that they shared with us for the business. And it's something that we couldn't unsee. And it became apparent to us that, you know, when we peered past the Wizard's Curtain, that we were no longer in Kansas anymore. This was not going to be a typical brand rollout. This wasn't going to be business as usual. So did that mean it was going to be business as unusual? No, that kind of landed for us, business as unusual. And I think it's the un in that word, which is interesting. By virtue of definition, prefixes are transformational. They create an altered state for the meaning of a word or the sentence or the context that lands thereafter. But it's just two letters. And that's really what Tether are about. It's taking something small, but altering the state. It's an attitude. The way you speak the life into a brand is important. Much like you would speak to yourself in the mirror, positively or negatively, can alter your attitude. And so the unness really was a basis for an attitude that we can start with, because it's about being unexpected or subverting what is expected of a brand, and, you know, understanding where the edges of the rules lie so we can bend and flex them at our will, but taking care not to break them. Much like when you're at school, you had a ruler and you'd constantly bend it so you get that fine white line. And it's that white line is that indelible mark that it's forever changed. But even if you put it down, it's slightly bowed. And so the onus was really just an area for us to play with creatively. And so the creative challenge for us was threefold. Like with any brand rollout, we had to cater for where the business was today. We had to design a brand system that would communicate with where Tether wanted to go, but also speak authentically to and the attention of those four verticals. And, you know, as you can see, this is the early stages of our explorations. You know, it's a laundry list of words with the two letters un in front of them. And the animation transitions they're very staccato, they're very stop frame. And it's intentional because what Tether were trying to say didn't need to be elegant, it just needed to be direct. And there's a slightly janky feel to it, which I quite enjoy. It's quite playful. But the tenets of a good creative idea, you know, it should give us two things. It should provide us with a point of orientation, but also a point of differentiation if successful. And so the unness enabled us to do that as we started to think as Tether did. And it was really interesting process as being a partner with them, because they, you know, our job as branders is to amplify the strategy and all the things that we've learned. But Tether, they handed us the levers to sort of calibrate that amplification along the way, along the process, and speak in a way that felt authentic to them. We spoke about business as unusual. They, you know, in the nicest possible way, Tether are a rather unusual business. The tenets of a successful business are there, but they like to do things differently. And one of the things that they said to us was, well, we want to remain under the radar, which is quite an unusual thing to say for a brand rollout. And I think if you look in the macro of what's going on with digital assets and tokenization, is that there's a lot of institutional investment, but that comes with a lot of eyeballs and regulatory conversations. There's consternation and confusion, misunderstanding around the real world utility of the technology. And so perhaps if we created something that had a, you know, the veneer of too much polish, you know, infinite layers of illustrations to communicate different ideas, that perhaps Tether felt that they would have something to hide. And so with simplicity as our North Star, what we relented on was that we would remove all the excess completely and create something that almost felt unbranded. And that's where the tension point was for us as a creative team, because invariably as designers, we want to create polish, but it's creating something that feels unbranded, but not unfinished, which was quite interesting. And also the tension of speaking figuratively and creatively and speaking plainly and directly, but also providing, you know, in black and white, but providing a very literal palette of black and white. Because invariably what Tether say and do over the coming years is going to be more important than how they appear visually. And that's not to play down the role of the brand that we created, but rather the role of the brand that we developed was really to play supporting cast and enable them and give their team the freedom to express themselves in the way they wanted to do. And so really this was about creating focus states and points of area of salient points of information, speaking plainly so that people can understand what they were trying to do as a business, but not at the expense of being cold or calculated. You know, relatability is really important because it garners understanding and ultimately mass adoption, which is the end game, as Patrick eloquently spoke earlier on. And so we had to have a sense of playfulness and, you know, again, this tension of keeping the toolkit very simple, but also dialing up the personality of the brand and how they wanted to speak. And as they, you know, began to imagine a world of that would be influenced by their technology, so too did we. We had to rethink and reframe and reflect our systems and the way we would operate so that we created, you know, creative work that would not limit the output. And I know that many of you have seen many talks about AI, but this is what we did. So we're going to go into it. But I think the most important thing was as we started to develop the brand tonality, that this wasn't about just plugging in, a series of prompt engineers into a search query, but finding that tonality in the brand. And also there was an interplay between the writers and designers. You know, designers became good, you know, better writers, and also the writers were thinking about how things could look. You know, some of our team were playing around with idioms and seeing how they would manifest creatively, you know, lots of literary devices, alliteration, and becoming more and more verbose. I mean, for demonstrative purposes, we've just got one word to pull up an image. But, you know, we really had to carve at the clay and massage. Sorry, the aircon's going there. We had to really massage and carve at the clay and see how this was going to work. And we tried, we did our due diligence. We tried a myriad of tools, Midjourney, Getty AI, all of them. And it wasn't a case of, here's our prompt engineer, copy and paste that, and it was lather and repeat. They all came up with varying degrees of success. But also another thing, a challenge to reconcile was that over the period of time that we engaged with the client, from the very beginning to when we started experimenting to when we handed over, if you put those same prompts into the search query, you would have very different results by virtue of machine learning. Things would become more, there'll be higher fidelity, or the results would be markedly different. So it was quite, a bit of fun, but it was a challenge to find that tonality throughout. And I think the lesson was that with the unness, it wasn't about finding a tonality. It was about finding the guardrails to empower the Tether team. And so we had a lot of fun, creating these images, but really this was about giving the Tether team the opportunity to have a system that didn't feel staid, because if we handed over a series of Shutterstock images or a stock library, that it would outdate very quickly. So as AI becomes more sophisticated and more robust, so does the richness of their brand, and that's the opportunity. And so Unstoppable Together as an ambition, we're daring to build decentralized, open and sustainable reality for all, enabling individuals, cities and nations to live more freely and be unstoppable together. And why can't that be communicated with a rocket? And for those of you who are in the tokenization space, you know, the trope of, you know, to the moon if you're an investor, if you know, you know. But we also use Runway to kind of play around with the animations a bit. Again, we didn't want to have a completely extensive or exhaustive animation suite. This was just about adding a slight flourish or a little touch. And it's actually quite nice that it starts again, because your eye is sort of drawn to it. Again, playing with the idea of writers and designers and that interchangeability was quite interesting. So don't limit your challenges, challenge your limits. And again, that unness and that attitude is what we were trying to communicate. And there's an origin story in terms of the Tether logo. I don't know if any of you guys saw the earlier slides where the Tether logo is a T with the vector orbit encased in the shield. But that kind of rang true for continuity. We wanted to remain true to the original brand, but there's a little breadcrumb in terms of the hero and villain. It sort of reminds me of the Superman S on your chest. But again, another reference to language, if the unness is the direction or the point of orientation, if it's our prefix, then it's quite nice to have the brand symbol as a full stop, because it suggests that when we have short copy, this is the last word in this particular topic. And it kind of bookends it quite nicely as a suffix. So language has always played a really important part as how we speak the brand to life. And again, another small detail, I quite enjoy the designer's use of the Tether logo on this I-beam as a point of signage, because it's quite skeletal and structural, but it would never jut out of the side of a building unless it was part of the original plan to be there. And so this idea of intention and feeling unbranded, but revealing and paring away, is quite interesting. Now, you might say it's just a logo on an I-beam, it's not that deep, but for me personally, these are the design details that I quite enjoy. And even the typeface of the logo mark, it deliberately feels like it has been typed. We used Sharp Grotesque because as we are paring everything away and stripping things back, we needed a typeface that would be quite exhaustive and expressive as we are speaking the brand to life. But there is a great deal of logo craft here because this is a digital first brand and it operates in that world. And so there is an exhaustive list of production outputs and breakpoints that we had to adhere to. And this had to be something that felt fit for purpose. But it also has that character and that charm that Tether wanted to convey, that unness. And again, we started to get into a bit of a rabbit hole with the brand symbol. So, you know, I kind of liken this to an operating system, and I'm fully aware of the hyperbole of calling this an operating system. It's, you might say it's a grid, it's fonts, it's logos, but the great thing with an operating system is there's plugins. And really this was about enabling the Tether design team to have this operating system that they could plug into that would enable them the freedom to create in the way that they need to. So you can start to see some of the flourishes. It, again, that tension of feeling unbranded, but not unfinished. And then even further, as we get into the digital toolkit, I mentioned before the very staccato, very stop frame animation in the campaign visuals, but for the UXs in the crowd, as of which I am one, apologies, you know, that would be very difficult to do in a digital application because it's a very on-off state. It's very passive active. So we then started to cascade in the type, and it takes up upon the angle of the brand symbol that you can see there. And again, the angularity is conveyed in the micro interactions of the buttons. The brand symbol, it has a pulse to let you know that there's breaking news. And again, that movement, just slight subtle flourishes that let you know that this has been a brand of consideration. And again, it doesn't feel unfinished. So in a nutshell, you know, there's a bravery and an honesty to creating something that feels unbranded, because when you pair everything back, there's really nowhere to hide. It's about what you say and how you do it. And I think that was the lesson, is that, you know, it's about peeling away the layers and really creating something that feels human, breaking down those barriers and creating a sense of attitude that we could play with. And I now hand you over to Patrick.
Yeah, just some final thoughts. These are some of the learnings that we had going over these slides, that also going through the project ourselves. So be human, be authentic, and be simple. Let's see the breakdown. So be human. It's very, very important, especially if you're a tech brand, deals with sophisticated technology, AI, those types of things, especially because, you know, the future can be equally terrifying and terrific at the same time. So it creates uncertainty, it creates fear. So a brand that is human and has this human voice, or a personality that is approachable, that is relatable, is a brand that can cut through and connect more with the audience instead of perpetuating that feeling of something that is scary and uncertain of the future. Second point there, being authentic. You know, in the beginning, we talked about the compelling truth. In our case here, as Nick presented, you know, for us, it was all about the unness, being unstoppable together. So once you find it, you know, hone it, embrace it. This is something that most likely than not will be your differentiator. And then the last point is just to be simple. As you know, we were saying now, just peeling back, give it to people straight. In the case of Tether, it's a no bullshit brand. It's black and white. It says what it means. And also sometimes, you know, you as a brand or as designers, you would probably want flourish it to, I don't know, create access or even try to add value with more components than you might actually need. In this case here, it's about stripping it down, you know, keep it simple, because most of those components will probably be in the way of people to getting to know who you are as a brand. So in a nutshell, guys, it's just be human, be authentic, and be simple. And that's it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.